ladies and gentlemen, this is Henrik. Thank you for stopping by. As you probably know, we had a busy weekend at NPI this year. A lot of fun. We were live streaming the entire event. Do make sure you check it out if you haven't already at our website, redeyes.tv. You can see it on our YouTube channel, and it will be up shortly on our members' website as well. We'll have all the speeches cut out and in order for you. Anyway, if you've been paying attention, you know that already the media has begun their spin cycle in order to turn NPI and the whole event into something that it actually wasn't. And the majority of the classic liberals, self-declared culture libertarians, and members of the alt-light has pretty much freaked out over a video that shows four guys, or five guys maybe, at the conference doing a Roman salute. It's, of course, right in line with the... with the humorless analysis that usually accompanies events like these when the mainstream media get their hands on it. The normies know nothing of the nomenclature, the words, the actions, signs, or even to that degree the symbols that define any counterculture movement, and in this case, all they see is Nazi without any of the humor. So we are going to talk with the Richard Spencer about this hoopla and the seeming controversy and explain a bit deeper what actually all of this is about. We'll also bring on Mike Enoch later from TRS and discuss the same issue, since he was there and initiated some of the hand-raising trolling efforts that we could see in the video from The Atlantic. Also, please note that this is a video interview that Lana and I recorded on the 22nd, and if you prefer to see this one as a video instead, just go to redeyes.tv or redeyesmembers.com, and you have it right there, but I thought we'll offer this to our radio audience as well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here. We have just returned from a very invigorating NPI conference, and we are just now back in the studio, and we have just watched in awe as the mainstream media has just unleashed a barrage on not only Richard Spencer, but the attendees and everything else, and this has now found itself into the highest level of the president-elect Trump's soon-to-be offices, where he needs to address the NPI conference directly. This is just hilarious. We have Richard with us. Thank you for coming on, Richard. And we wanted to bring you on because we have a number of things that have occurred after, I mean, in the last literally 24 hours, from the Atlantic's piece on, Hail Trump that they did, we'll show that in a moment, to CNN issuing, apologies to the Jewish community for daring misquoting you or putting you out of context. But what do you think, first of all, people should know about what happened at the conference and what the response has been?
Well, I think it's clear that we're reaching a huge audience at this point. And yes, we're reaching it negatively to a degree, in the sense that we're getting slammed by CNN and the mainstream and the Atlantic, and there's a lot of characterizations of what was done and what I said. But we have to look at the silver lining to all this, in the sense that our ideas are invading the mainstream. And sometimes when you invade a foreign territory or a hostile territory, there's going to be some craziness and some conflict, but this is what's happening. So, look, does some of it bother me? Is some of it good? Is some of it bad? Or is some of it a total mischaracterization? Yes, but this is how it goes. Like, this is what it's like when you're an insurgent movement, and that's what we are.
Okay, so let's address some of these issues first of all. The Atlantic released a video yesterday. It's almost had 1 million views. Let's just, take a look at the first 20 seconds. I mean, let's just mention this first. We produced, how many hours, Lana? 12 hours of video material, I think, in the whole conference overall.
Mm-hmm. You guys did an amazing job.
Well, thank you, yeah. And literally the first 5 seconds, what they take out. Listen to this, folks. This is what they do.
Hail Trump! Hail our people! Hail victory!
And then a couple of guys over there doing the salute.
Four or five guys.
And then Eric Yunt in there. It's funny because, let me just pause that for a second and let's just address that, because first out of the gates, I mean, I just find this hilarious, to be honest. I mean, Mike, you invited Mike Enoch from TRS up on stage, and he kind of, initiated this, the Roman salute as a way of joking about this. I mean, frankly, let's just break this down, Richard. I mean, the media has projecting upon us Nazism for a decade now, or over 4 or 5 years. And so some of the response of this has, of course, been to kind of adopt that almost in a stereotypical way as a way of dealing with it. I mean,
to
it's been used as a weapon against us, and now we're fighting back by disarming them, by joking about this stuff.
It's about throwing it back in their face. You know, it's a, whenever there's an authentic movement of identity that is coming from Europeans, European Americans, you know, we've heard it all before. You're Adolf, you're literally Hitler, you're literally the KKK, you're literally the Southern Confederacy, so on and so on. And I think at some point we just want to throw it back at their face and do it with a grin as well. I mean, and I think that's what TRS has always been about. There is this layer of irony to the fascist stuff. And if you know, we all get it. But I think, unfortunately, a lot of people don't get it. So, you know, this is what they went with. They, you know, they had 10 hours of the conference that they could have looked into, but this is what they went with. And, again, I definitely, I'm fine with it. I mean, I would say this. We do need to be, if we're going to be a movement that's successful, we can't be trapped in the past. So we do need to be bigger than this. We need to move beyond this kind of stuff. That being said, those handful of guys who did the Roman salute, they were doing it in the spirit of ironic exuberance. You know, they were excited. So was my call for Hail Trump. I mean, how can you really take that too seriously? I mean, look, I'm excited about Trump. I think Trump represents an amazing first step towards identity politics in the United States. But, you know, I'm being cheeky. And it's an applause line, and you have to take it as such. But of course, they take this as if I think Donald Trump is our, you know, divine leader, and you know we're his
following.
That's just not the case. And I'm ready to criticize Trump. I think that, you know, and again, I'm going to criticize him for good reason. But I think that's actually when the alt-right will come into its own, when we're willing to say no to Trump. You know, we have been fans. We've criticized him when he needed it on the campaign trail, but we've been big fans. And I think the alt-right is going to come into its own when we're willing to go against Trump.
Let me just bring this up, too, that, I mean, that Hail Trump thing come at the wake of a 30-minute speech, which was really good, Richard, by the way. And, you know, I didn't comment on that on the site, but it was very, very good. People were fired up about this. You did a great speech. And, I mean, let's just play that, because the Atlantic video shows there's actually a guy covering up when he's covering up you in the shot that they catch. So it gives the appearance that you were the one who were doing that salute. Initiating that you invited people
you
to do
your
this,
drink.
But this is not true. Let me show you the footage.
Let me
actually play that footage so people can look at that. Check this out, ladies and gentlemen.
Because for us as Europeans, it is only normal again when we are great again. Hail Trump! Hail our people! Hail victory!
See there? You just lift up your glass.
Yeah.
They're lying. It's conniving propaganda to make it seem like this was some Nazi fest, you know?
Well, and also Tequila the night before, right, at the dinner, she was, a few other people were doing a, you know, Roman salute. They were having fun. She wants to get attention. The Roman salute gets attention more than anything we see. I mean, look at the press. This is worldwide news. And this girl knows it. She's working it. They're having fun, and everyone runs with it. They think it's for real. They have no sense of humor. They're dried up. They're uptight. They're just not funny anymore, and we know how to get a reaction, and this is clearly how you get one.
Yeah, I obviously totally agree with everything you just said. The other funny thing about this is that people also picked up on my use of the term Lügenpresse, which, by the way, predates the Third Reich, but, you know, that subtlety is lost on them, needless to say. But again, there's a cheekiness to using this term. We know it's going to get a reaction out of them. But the funny thing about it is that they get freaked out by my use of the term lying press. And then they start lying about
yes.
So it has these layers of irony. So I had a statement in my speech where I said, it's not just a matter that a lot of these people are cucks and liberals and whatever. I wonder if these people are people at all. They seem to be soulless golem who are animated by some dark force to repeat John Oliver's talking points, you know, for the rest of their life. So I was making a colorful jab at the liberal media. And CNN debated what we should do with Richard Spencer because he's questioning whether all Jews have souls. That was a little much for me. I can't imagine that they did that. I obviously think Jews are people. But it's, you know, again, I guess it was the term golem, which is, of course, taken from Jewish mythology. And so they...
What you imply is that it's soulless. The golem only acts when they actually get a prayer stuck down its throat, right? To act.
Correct. So it's like the media. It's a new golem that, you know, it's John Oliver stuffs a talking point down its throat.
Yeah.
anyway, so they had a whole panel where they were discussing this, like idiots. They're not. You know, did we publish the speech actually that day? No one bothered to look at it. So it is amusing that, you know, they're freaked out that we would dare call them the lying press. How dare you say that? They lie in ways that I couldn't even imagine them doing.
Well, it's funny. They took your misquote, and then they say, you know, alt-right founder questions if Jews are people, and then the Jews attack CNN for even publishing that misquote. It's just so it's a mess with multi-levels
layers.
To it.
It's layers. Well, it is like our meme, like the Roman salute, just to go back to them. I mean, it's a multi-contextual, it's like it's fun because it's like it's rubbing it in their faces. It triggers these people, basically, and that's fun. That's why people are doing it. It's trolling. At the same time, there is a veneration for the Roman Empire, what was achieved there. There's even some of that actually have an appreciation for what the National Socialists managed to accomplish. It doesn't mean that these people would fit right into 1933 as a kind of a stereotypical Nazi that the media has presented. I mean, it's multi-contextual. There's so much going on here. And they just don't get it.
Absolutely.
Because they don't have a sense of humor.
Absolutely. They also want, they want some smoking gun that basically they can say, oh, look at this. Look at this, how evil he is. And then, you know, the spirit of the Trump movement would just vanish, would go away, you know. And that's not going to happen. You know, it's just like alt-right ideas aren't going to vanish because they have some salacious video with some, you know, Roman salutes. Alt-right ideas aren't going to vanish because they slander me and my ideas. It's just not going to go away. I mean, they're ultimately going
to
fail.
All right. Well, this conference has made it all the way to the White House. Now, Trump is being forced to respond to it. What do you think about this? I don't know if you've read some of the headlines.
I have. I read some of the tweets. I don't know if the full transcript has been released, but I have read some tweets. You know, I can't say that I'm terribly happy about it. I am glad that we have become this big that, you know, presidents have to respond. I think that is an achievement in itself. I probably would have preferred if he did one of his non-disavows, or he just, you know, says something like, you know, oh, I don't know what's going on there, I won't talk about it. But apparently he can't do that anymore. We're this big. We're this huge. So, you know, that is good. I would say this about the disavowal from Trump, is that it makes me worry that he's going to slide into conventional conservatism. This is one data point, but it makes me worried about that. And also, if he wants to have a movement, and he said he wants to, he's claimed, you know, this is not a campaign, this is a movement. He's claimed that in multiple video ads, and he's claimed that in many, many speeches. If he wants it to be a movement, there has got to be an intellectual vanguard to the movement, and conservatism can't cut it. And conservatives, like conservative operatives, don't want to be that vanguard. So, you know, it's like, okay, there's this salacious video out there, and you have to disavow. And it would be fine to disavow, you know, the salute or something. But if he thinks that he's going to ultimately succeed with mere populism, by merely promising people the world, saying, I'm going to bring all your jobs back, we're going to build a wall, he's going to be disappointed, because a real movement has layers. A real movement is going to have intellectuals. It's going to have people who are vanguard, who are out in front. It's going to have populism. It's going to reach people on an emotional level. And it's going to have operatives and so on. If he wants a movement to arise, he's going to need us.
Yeah, and he also needs to remember the press lied about him. They lied. They called him a Nazi, too. So I tweeted him today, and I said, come to us, ask us directly. Remember, the media lied, they called you a Nazi too. He did have a statement, he said, it's not a group I want to energize. Now he's thinking they're actual Nazis. And if they are energized, I want to look into it and find out why. And I say, yes, please look into it. Come to us, we're here, we're ready to talk. Invite Richard Spencer to the White House and we'll clear it all up for you. Right?
Exactly. Now, hopefully. A number of other issues that occurred. For example, as far as I know, the mainstream media did not really address the fact that there was people on our side of the fence that were beaten bloody at this conference. They did not show that it was violence outside. It was not we. They literally think that, you know, we are the Nazi. I mean, how much power does the Nazi Party have anyway? And how much, how many people do they kill each year? I mean, this is ridiculous.
The alt-right has killed
nobody.
That's
a very good point. The fact that in all of these discussions, they've just overlooked the fact that one of your guys and Emily Euclid were both physically assaulted. I was physically assaulted at the Friday night dinner, although I'm fine. But the fact is, I was sprayed with this awful skunk substance. So again, these people are not just using words. They're not just holding up signs. They are physically assaulting us. I think we might very well have crossed a Rubicon with these people. But one, your guy who was attacked, I mean, that was just absolutely terrible. Totally unacceptable.
He didn't say a word, and then the whole media runs with, he's a neo-Nazi, he's a member of a white nationalist group. I say, go after them and sue their asses. Yep. They don't know anything about this
guy. Isn't this what Trump actually wanted to change with the defamation issue of the media?
Libel laws.
Libel laws, right?
Right. Right.
So I hope he does it.
I hope he does, too. I might think about doing something with CNN.
Well, also, recently, a Politico editor, he was just forced to resign. He published your home addresses, two of them. He claims your home address, and encouraged people to go visit your home with baseball bats. Let me
put utterly repulsive. I would mention that there are actually some inaccuracies in what he published, which... does not make it better. So what does he expect to happen? I mean, he says, like, exercise your constitutional right, wink, wink. I have a very hard time reading that without thinking that he is inspiring people to engage in violence. What exactly does this Gersh character want to happen? Does he want someone to come and shoot me in my sleep at my home? Does he want one of these protesters to try to break into my home and I shoot him? The fact is, as I mentioned, there was actually serious inaccuracies in those addresses. So, again, unintended consequence. There's some poor person who has no earthly idea who I am, who's getting protested, maybe violently attacked. I mean, it's a total disaster. I was pleasantly surprised that it happened this quickly, that he resigned. And it goes to show that, look, our enemies are definitely more powerful than we are in terms of funding and so on. They're not more powerful than we are in terms of ideas. But they're not omnipotent. I mean, if people like this Gersh fellow overreach, they're going to get whacked themselves. Like, he's had to resign. He's lost a job. That's a very good thing. And I think that a lot of these, a lot of the mainstream people are going to hesitate to do this again. Now, the anti-fascist scum are definitely not going to hesitate to do anything. And I actually think we have crossed, as I mentioned, I think we crossed this Rubicon where they're going to be more willing to get violent.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a real, real problem. And this shows what level they're playing at and the fact that they are absolutely okay with going to violence while denouncing it, in terms of other groups. And the fact is, they have more at this point blood on their hands, obviously, than the alt-right does. I mean, we're tolerant. We're joking with these people.
There was an ethno-nationalist Jew at the conference, and he was really cool, and everyone liked him. He said only one guy was kind of rude to him, and he was supporting what we were doing.
Yeah, he asked a very good question during Kevin McDonald's speech. He came up and shook my hand. I mean, look, this was a public event. We are willing to talk with other people. And, it is about, MPI and the alt-right ultimately is about us. But the fact is, we're perfectly willing to, have allies of color or to talk with people who disagree with us. I mean, we invited 100 journalists in during our press conference to engage with us. I mean, this shows our willingness to engage with the world. We're not the ones, you know, suggesting that our adversaries in the media be attacked. We're not the ones doing the attacking. It's just
And we provided the ultimate level in transparency by live streaming every single talk. Anyone can go hear what was actually said.
Yeah.
And they don't actually try and go and break down those arguments. They just look for the one trolling Roman salute, and that's
all. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, literally, that video, almost a million views now. It's just 5 seconds long, and unfortunately, you've had other people run with this too. But the point is, you know, we have ideas, we have open dialogue, we want to communicate with these people. Yes, we have an aspect of humor and kind of, you know, rustle these people's jimmies, as it were, but at the same time, you know, they are so one-dimensional, so flat that they can't take any of this, they don't get any of this. They just think we're 100% serious, and they're just there to get, like, you know, the hood shot or the salute shot or anything like that, and then that's what they're going to run with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a failing tactic, because they're not taking us seriously, actually.
Yeah. And what do you think when you tell kids you can't joke around about Nazis? Okay, don't joke around about Nazis. What's the first thing the kids are going to do? They're going to joke around about Nazis. The Roman salute is the ultimate act of rebellion in this establishment right now, correct? Correct.
That might happen. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these things backfire. You know, again, if you're too much of a Puritan, if you keep repressing something, it bubbles up somewhere else. And, I wouldn't be surprised if what you're saying happens, and a lot of kids are doing it to just as a sign of rebellion. They don't even quite know what they're doing.
Exactly.
It's a very interesting situation. And also, just, you know, again, just the stupidity of these people, where they think that they can cancel a dinner meeting and then the alt-right's going to go away, or they can do a hit piece on CNN on me and just blatantly lie, and then, like, our ideas will just evaporate into thin air, and, you know, the spirit of Trump's campaign, maybe not the reality of it, to be honest, but the spirit of it will just go away. We'll go back to normal. You know, it'll be Barack Obama versus, or Michelle Obama versus Marco Rubio in 2020. We'll just go back to the way things were. No, you can't ever go back.
One more thing I want to address here as well is, you know, unfortunately we get a little schism between, you know, different factions, from the alt-light to the alt-right to the alt-west, whatever you want to call these different factions of it. One of the things, I mean, let's just address that a little bit. He did a video on Periscope addressing you as basically a sting operation, trying to entrap people into, I mean, literally going into some kind of Ruby Ridge scenario or something like that. And one of the points he raises, though, is obviously true in terms of the fact that, yes, the federal government has always been very keen on infiltrating so-called white supremacy groups, in some cases even setting them up themselves,
creating,
for Christ's sake, right?
Yeah.
But the point is, I mean, the alt-right has made a meteoric rise in the last year, basically, as we've pointed out now, from going from more or less kind of more of an obscure movement to being addressed at the highest office in the most powerful country in the world, which is amazing, right? So surely, of course, there would be an interest from intelligence services and everything else to try to make us look bad, because these establishment puppets, I mean, they do fear our ideas and they want to try to tarnish us. So the point
something
is
to watch out for. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, the point is valid over the fact that, like, what's going on here, but to run with it like this and to trust the Lügen press, to trust the Atlantic's disingenuous lying methodology here, to try to show that you, Richard, somehow invited people to do a Nazi salute. I mean, what do you think of this?
You know, it's interesting. I've had a up and down perspective on Ann Coulter. You know, I used to hate her back in the Bush era. Now I like her. And I like her a lot, actually. And it's proof that Ann Coulter, who's actually much more mainstream than Cernovich, she's more of a badass than so-called alt-light. Ann Coulter said, basically defended the conference, defended me. She, you know, she said some sarcastic comments like, oh, five people give a Roman salute, call out the National Guard. You know, she basically defended us, whereas Mike Cernovich went nuts and became this shrill person. I haven't even watched it. I've just heard from it. But everyone who's described it for me described it as a meltdown.
let me play your clip here from that, Richard, if you haven't seen it, okay?
The alt-right has been taken over by controlled opposition. Richard Spencer is controlled opposition. He's a media. He's owned by the media. Richard Spencer is owned by the media. Maybe he even has government connections. So I'm sure we've all seen the Atlantic video. Hail, you know, Trump, hail victory. And it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. I've never said I'm not alt-right. I'm not this. I'm just running my own thing. But there's controlled opposition. A lot of you people who are alt-right, who identify as alt-right, are going to end up in prison. There are people who are going to get framed for crimes because you're going to get caught up. There are government operatives right now who invaded the alt-right. The government is going to incite people and to entrap people into doing all kinds of stuff. The Nazi salute. You are... Well, tell them to do it. Hey, don't chew up stuff.
All right, we can stop there. But he goes on to basically say that you, Richard... you are the controlled opposition to take over the alt-right. I mean,
he didn't have a problem with alt-right when he was being named a leading figure, or when Milo was being named a leading figure.
Right.
Only
right.
when you,
look,
you coined the term.
I'm Mr. Tolerance, as you know. There's something to be said for not punching right. There's also something to be said for not always punching directly to your left, of kind of allowing people to slowly evolve into your position.
Sure.
So I've generally been more tolerant of these people, but I can't be tolerant of Cernovich when he's making accusations like this. It's just utterly ridiculous. I don't even know where to begin. Yeah, I mean, the other thing is...
Look at the poster behind him there. Sorry, Richard, let me just interrupt there. Isn't that a Roman salute on the poster that behind him? Even doing the mustache and everything right there, you know?
Yeah, like, you know, the other thing I would say is that the alt-right really is a movement, and we stick together. Now, of course, there's drama between certain people. You see that everywhere. But we generally stick together. Cernovich is kind of his own weird brand. He's his own personal brand. Very similar to Milo, actually. You know, Milo's... You know, the degree to which Milo can become a movement, it's a cult of personality. I don't really know what Milo's metapolitics are. I don't think he has many. You know, and I think the same thing with Cernovich. Cernovich, you know, attacks Trump's enemies. Cernovich, I have to be honest, he plays fast and loose with the truth. And I think he reverse engineers arguments where, you know, he comes up with the conclusion and then goes and searches for facts. So, you know, when he was doing that against Trump's enemies and he was kind of doing that in favor of the alt-right, I guess maybe a lot of us gave him a pass. But, you know, claiming that I'm controlled opposition, I just like, how can you say this? So the CIA wants Red Ice Radio to
exactly.
increase popularity. You know, it's pretty dialectical.
Again, he makes a good point about regarding infiltration and all these kinds of things, right?
That's a
true point. We have to be, and he's right about, you know, Ruby Ridge and all these issues and everything. But I actually see the alt-light as a more of a sting operation to try to pull the alt-right in a different direction. And when it didn't work with Milo to make him the leader, right, of the alt-right, and even Alex Jones was named as one of the alt-right. And they aren't, let's face it. And now the ownership, if you will, of the alt-right has ended up in the righteous hands once again, right? And so that's a kind of a protest, I think, to a certain extent, that you're doing it, FBI is doing
good.
It.
I think, vis-a-vis some other people, I was much more tolerant of the alt-right. That being said, I do agree, and I'm not claiming that the alt-right is a sting operation or anything like that. I have no evidence for that. But I do think that the alt-right would have lost all of its power if it became this, like, meaningless, pro-Trump, anti-mainstream media personality cult surrounding, you know, someone like Milo or Cernovich.
Yeah, like anti-Islamist, you know, libertarian ideas, basically.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think we're in any danger of that.
Let me just mention one thing. Matt Forney did a good comment, and to his credit, Mike Cernovich did, you know, repost this. I don't want to attack Cernovich. I don't have an issue with him, but I don't understand why he's jumping to these conclusions when he simply can address us and talk with us, you know.
These alt-right people, and it's why I don't really like punching to your immediate left. Like, if Milo wants to go do his thing, or Cernovich wants to do his thing, then, you know, Godspeed. You know, go shake things up, go make people question conventional conservatism, go for it. But that being said, don't claim that I'm a CIA agent.
No, or it's going to lead to...
Don't attack the alt-right, or you know, don't claim that Cernovich is the real alt-right. This is my question. Who the fuck is Mike Cernovich? I mean, look, I've enjoyed some of his blogs, but his writing style is that of a direct mail fundraiser. I mean, he's like I think he was literally a copywriter. What does Mike Cernovich really want? I mean, what are Mike Cernovich's political ideas or ideals? I have no idea. I don't think he really has anything.
He said he would debate you for $10,000.
What? Yeah, someone had to pay him $10,000. Yeah.
I heard about that. I almost wanted to say no to that because I'm not against people donating to charity. But, I mean, you know, for God's sake, Mike, spare an hour of your time to have discussions.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need to get people to donate all this money.
No.
I don't know. I mean, look, if he wants to retract that or apologize, I would certainly accept his apology and just kind of let him do his thing. I'm not against any of these alt-like guys, but, you know, when you start attacking us and just making claims, I mean, he is the lying press to the same degree that CNN is.
Well, that was my point. You know, don't run with what this monstrous image that the media has created of what this conference was about. He ran, I think, mostly likely due to that Atlantic piece. Mm-hmm. That was a video he linked up, and then it's like, oh, that's it. He's controlled opposition. He thinks it's going to be Ruby Ridge. You're going to take people down into some scenario where people are going to get hurt by the government in some kind of operation or something. But one quick point on this. Matt Forney commented on this. Let me just read it. Yeah, because he had a good point here. And Cernovich retweeted this. He said, I was at the MPI conference. When Spencer was giving a speech, I was at the back of the room with Pax Dickinson. I didn't participate in the salutes because I'm not an idiot. I don't believe Spencer and MPI are controlled opposition. The Roman salutes were done as a joke. Freaking Tequila was doing one the night before. For that matter, right. One of the guys he was photographed with is Jewish. A lot of the guys doing the salutes are trolls looking for a few laughs at the normies' expense because they know shit like this gets them riled up. And then he goes on to say, however, Cernovich is right about, you know, potential Fed infiltration, blah, blah, blah. There are a number of individuals, organizations that could have this going, but not NPI and Spencer, you know. So that's a good point.
Yeah, totally a solid point.
Hail Richard Spencer.
Hail Lana.
Thanks for putting on a great conference.
Yeah, thank you again.
Yeah, hopefully this will get traction.
Oh,
Hail Lana.
Yeah.
Hail Red Eye.
All right, Richard, thanks so much. We'll talk soon, okay? We've gotten a hold of Mike Enoch, a.k.a. Baldrick, as you can see from the image, from TRS. Mike, we wanted to have you on for a quick comment on this weekend, since you might be the culprit in the situation here. Not sure, but, but you know, the hail or the Roman salute video that The Atlantic now has put up on its YouTube channel has around 1 million views right now. It's probably going to go up from here. And, of course, it's done in an attempt to make NPI look like just one big Nazi fest. But we missed you, as we talked about just before we come on. We missed to live stream your quick appearance on stage Saturday, Mike, which is maybe something that was good for you. Not sure Richard told you, we were live streaming, but you kind of initiated the salute during your short speech, if I'm not mistaken. And a lot of other guys started picking up on this afterwards and continuing this joke. But again, this is, you know, the one portion that we didn't record, so we can't prove that this is what actually happened, you know.
I did it when I went up. I mean, I was told there was no recordings going on. But I think that before we get defensive about it, I think we need to put things in perspective. Like, this was a group of people that were, you know, feeling very high energy. We're together. And, you know, there was kind of this flow of emotional energy that was going on. And you know, the journalists had left by that point, as far as I had known. And it was like, whatever, like, who cares? And I think that, you know, this is being blown way out of proportion, like way, way out of proportion. And, basically what is happening here, in my opinion, is that there are people that are using this to try to sort of split off the alt-light, so-called, from the alt-right. And unfortunately, people are, you know, people are picking up on this. And so, I regret nothing. You know, like, I mean, it happened. I mean,
did you see the Atlantic video yet, Mike?
I did. It was maybe six or eight people that did.
Yeah, if even that. And also, there was one thing they, you know, as I told Richard, he had done like a 30-minute speech, which was, you know, very inspiring. You know, it was a great speech.
Mm-hmm.
And this came at the end of it, both in combination of kind of like a joke, in a way, you know, hail Trump, hail the God Emperor. Right? And then at the same time, you know, all these other guys started to kind of pick up on the salute and everything else, which is fun. But the Atlantic video managed to catch this in a way which was completely humorless, you know, and even the guy in front that had, I mean, we don't know if this was a guy that they just asked to do this, or even if it was a guy that they paid the ticket for to make it look bad. You know, who knows, right? We don't know.
They were there filming a documentary, right?
Well, this is the question, and I actually forgot to ask this to Richard, but I believe that the reason The Atlantic was in there already, because this was post-press conference, and as far as I know anyway, there shouldn't have been any press in there at that point. Not that this is like, oh, let's remove the press so we can all do Nazi salutes together. You know, not that that's the kind of the point here. But anyway, I think they were there, they were doing their documentary or whatever, and they managed to catch this, even zoom out right at the right opportunity, almost like that they would know that they wanted a guy to do this or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think we should stop wringing our hands about it, and really, this is like media tricks are expected, like whatever they could pull, we would expect that they would pull. And what I'm urging everybody out there is just like, chill out. Like, it's not a big deal. Look, the media goes crazy. Do you guys remember maybe a year or so ago, maybe year and, I don't know, a little while. It was a little while ago. It was before the primaries. Trump himself was at a speech, and he had everybody in the audience raise their right hand and pledge that they would vote for him.
Yeah.
And plenty of people in that audience went ahead and did the Roman salute when that was going on, and it was captured by the media. And, you know, of course, they used it. For like a week, they spun it endlessly, and everyone's forgotten about that now because everybody forgets what the media narrative from a few months ago was. So I just urge everybody, just chill out. If you're getting all upset, if you think, oh, it's over, it's done, we've been, this time our goose is cooked, like, you're letting the media play you. And if you're doing this, if you're like not quite as you know, hardcore as some people, you want to stay like maybe in a little bit lighter stance, all you have to do is keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, people need to chill out. And we should tell the left, chill out. We're just having fun. You people are so
They're complete humorless.
No humor.
No,
God.
They just don't get it. And it's, as you said, Mike, they're there to catch that moment where, you know, someone puts on a hood or something, or, you know, when someone does this. And but frankly, I mean, this is the way we need to disarm them as well. We need to rub it in their faces, you know?
Yes, and let's remind everybody that I believe it was your own cameraman who was assaulted.
That's right.
By like 10 people.
Yeah.
Okay, where's the video of this nationwide?
Yeah, nothing.
Okay, where's the video of these people the night before storming into, vandalizing a restaurant, terrorizing the guests, and assaulting the staff? Where's the video of that? You know, like, where's the video of any number of Trump supporters being beaten and bruised by these paid, many times paid Hillary Clinton operatives? Where's the video of all of this? It doesn't exist. Why? Because this is what these people do. So if you're falling for this, like, you need to just buck up. You need to chin up, man up, and shut up, honestly, before you let them play you.
Chernovich went in the other opposite direction here, of course, and started screaming foul and everything else, and which is funny because it comes from an alt-light perspective that somehow, you know, the alt-light is a newcomer on the scene, right? They're the ones who showed up later, and as Richard said when we talked with him, you know, and I agree with that, he said, I can't prove that alt-light is some kind of sting operation or whatever, but I find it funny that, you know, they try to put Milo as the leader of the alt-right, they try to do all these things. That didn't work for them, so now they're kind of reverting back to the original strategy, which is basically to point the alt-right as being these, you know, just neo-Nazis or something, right?
I think he got spooked, frankly. I don't know that he's an operative or that, you know, I mean, I think a lot of these claims of people being, like, secret operatives are, I don't know, I just, it's kind of
exaggerated paranoia and people run with it too quickly, frankly. Yeah,
and I think that really... I think that everybody, Cernovich, Molyneux, who I think was also doing it, Paul Joseph Watson. I understand that these guys do not want to identify themselves with as far right of views as maybe we hold, and that's fine. But I think that they need to get a little bit of discipline about not taking these kind of cues from the media. If you look at what the left does, like, you don't ever see leftists, you don't ever see them criticize these anarchists that go out and destroy property and riot and loot. You don't see it. I mean, you just do not see it. And on some level, it's maybe they don't feel like it hurts them, because as it turns out, the Democratic Party was never hurt politically by anarchists going out and doing this. I mean, it's like people stay kind of where they are politically, and they regret that somebody maybe made them look bad temporarily, but they're not going to not go out and support Donald Trump and vote for Donald Trump if that's what people are concerned about. Some people are concerned maybe it's going to impact my book sales or something like that. But I think that people really, really need to get how the left maintains their narrative hegemony. And one of the ways is they don't ever counter-signal those that are more radical. The more mainstream figures don't attack those that are more radical. They just never do it. And that kind of discipline needs to be drummed into these people's heads. And, like, look, if there's a gathering of 300 or so, you know, alt-right people, so on some of the kind of the harder edge of it, because they're at, like, a, you know, I mean, whatever certain people think of Spencer, like, from the perspective of the political spectrum, he's pretty far to the right. So at a gathering of his, you know, you get 300 guys, and they're together, and from our perspective, it was a private event. And so now this was set up, and this was kind of dangled as bait, and people took the bait, and it's a shame. And I just think that they need to school themselves a little bit better. It doesn't help them to do it. Like, if Cernovich had just not said anything, would he be in any worse shape? He would probably be in better shape.
Of course.
Because I know he lost fans, because he did have some alt-right fans. So, you know, if he's not ready to go as far as Spencer, that's fine. I'm not going to criticize him for that, but, like, just show a little sense.
Yeah, I mean, what I find interesting is that he spent so much of the election cycle leading up to Trump talking about what liars the media are, you know, and all these tricks that they use. And then he goes to the Atlantic clip and takes that verbatim instead of actually looking at the whole speech and what Spencer actually did on stage, because, the Atlantic footage managed to cover up Spencer in the last minute, so it looked like it was him who initiated people to do a salute like this, when that was not the truth.
No, he was raising a glass, and frankly, look, you raise your glass and you say, "Hail Trump." Okay, like, why is this something? I mean, isn't the song of the president "Hail to the Chief"? I mean, this, we can't raise a glass and say "Hail to our president" in this country without being called Nazis now. I mean, get out of here! You know, like, it's just ridiculous. And really, you know, I just think that these guys, you gotta, like, if you spent years online, on YouTube, on Twitter, wherever, talking about how the media manipulates shit, how the media crafts narratives, how the media hoodwinks people and gaslights people, and then you just fall for something so blatant as this. I mean, come on, that footage was also clearly edited. They took the same shot and edited it in a couple of times.
Actually, the second kind of shot that they panned over to the left side in the hall was actually probably from when you did it the first time. It looked like that in a way, and people kind of responded to you when you were up on stage. I don't know, I can't prove that, but it was something that they did with the footage to make it also more dramatic than it actually was, you know. And so this is what they do. They lie. They find whatever they can of a 10-hour-long conference, and probably even more material than that, actually. They take literally the first 5 seconds to represent what this is all about. And they got their soundbite. They got it, and people picked up on it.
Didn't you even do a salute, and then you went down and shook a Jewish guy's hand in the audience? I heard something about that.
I think I did. People told me I did, but I shook so many people's hands that I don't remember. But, I mean, why didn't they show a clip of the Jewish guy going up there and telling Kevin MacDonald that he's always admired his work? I mean, that would have been a very interesting narrative for them to present to the people, you know? So, whatever. I mean, you know, I was actually surprised that this became a thing, to be perfectly honest. So, like, to those of us that were in the room, this is just like a passing thing. It was a few seconds, and it was like the joke, and we laughed, and it was over. And now, and the thing is, there's other people that weren't there that I do respect that have had some like tactical criticisms, and I get that, but I think that not being there and not kind of getting the feeling in the room, like maybe people felt like Richard had like set this up or this was a plan rather than something like a few people did spontaneously. That's not the case. This is not set up. This is not a plan. And there's nothing wrong with Spencer gave a great speech, and there's nothing wrong with him sort of giving a toast at the end of the speech. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. And if a few people in the audience, like, you know, did an unwise maneuver in retrospect, don't be hard on Richard for that, you know, whatever other criticisms you may have. So, like, yeah, you know, I think it's really not a big deal, and everybody should expect the media to do this. We also have to understand that on some level, we're not even the target. It's really Donald Trump in some ways that's the target.
Yeah, they're trying to corner him immediately on this. Yes. You disavow the alt-right, you know.
And I wish this advice that I'm giving could make it up to his ears, because he doesn't need to do that either. And he's usually pretty good at handling these people. So, I mean, he did it, you know, with the whole thing with David Duke, which is pretty good, I thought. You know, it's like, what do you get out of giving these people what they want? You know what I mean?
Well, and he should know that. I mean, because he knows it from every day. They're accusing him of being a Nazi, or Steve Bannon is a white supremacist and a white nationalist, and all these things.
Yeah.
If he actually honestly, and I think he said this, I look into it. And if he honestly actually does that, he might actually understand some of our arguments. And granted, to listen
to it.
We'll
look into it. Sometimes it just means I really don't give a shit.
I mean, that's actually the best response.
Yeah.
I'll look into that.
I'm sure.
That's a great response, and it's a great dismissal, because they know it's a dismissal.
I want him to do it because he might actually connect with some of our grievances.
He might find us and learn about it.
Yeah, exactly. That's just it. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's aware. Always remember, like, there's no media outrage about... Remember, the media didn't cover Rotherham, but they covered this. You know, so whenever you start feeling like you're going to counter-signal, or you're going to start lecturing somebody for being dumb in front of the media, or doing something that wasn't, like, a perfectly crafted thing or whatever, or just... You know, just remember, these people are the enemy. I mean, they're effectively the enemy. So, like, if your thought was ever that they were going to be fair, or that they weren't going to put things out of context, or that they weren't going to attack us while covering up for terrorists, child molesters, rapists, groomers, anarchists, rioters, vandals, like, covering up for all of these people while attacking a perfectly legal conference full of law-abiding people who do not advocate nor engage in any criminal activity or any violent activity or any harm towards others, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, just put this in perspective.
Yeah, and again, you made a good point. If you weren't there, don't take the word of the lying media, you know, and this is an attempt to make sure that people who have more in common, if they don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, that kind of attitude, you know. It's really simple, to be honest.
Yep.
And look, if you want to say something privately, that's a whole other thing. Say something privately. But seriously, don't go on Twitter. Don't go on Facebook and make these long... Like, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Thanks, guys. Just a quick update for you there. A lot more to say about this, obviously. Please just watch the conference for yourself and see for yourself if you think that the media, The Atlantic in particular, has represented Richard, FBI, us, and everyone else that was there in a fair way. Or not. The alt-right is here to stay. It's a force to be reckoned with, no matter what the media does. In fact, it might even attract more people. Who knows, considering the approval rating of the media these days. Nonetheless, we'll be back with Red Ice Radio in just a few days. We're a bit behind because of the NPI this weekend, so thank you for your patience. We'll be back on the more regular radio schedule soon. Thank you so much again. We'll talk to you soon.